Today's show is brought to you by School Spirit Vending. School Spirit Vending has a hassle-free, year-round fundraising program for schools. You can learn more at schoolspiritvending.com.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
In today's show, I connect with my mentor, Aaron Walker. He is the legit best guy that I know. He's amazing and inspires me so much. He is the one who facilitates the mastermind I participate in, and he taught me a lot about how to run them for school leaders. You can listen and learn more about him in episode 12, but he's joining us again here, episode 95, because he just released a book called View from the Top, and you're going to love it. One thing I want to say, and I mentioned it in the episode, first 20 listeners to purchase the View from the Top book, take a screenshot of your receipt that you bought it from Amazon or whatever. Email that to me, Daniel@betterleadersbetterschools.com. And I will give you free admission to my July 22nd workshop, which has to do with creating your ideal week and how to identify and execute on a 12-week goal. It's a game changer. That goes for $97 by itself. And I'm giving it to you for free if you're part of the first 20 to buy the View from the Top book. A few other things we're going to discuss in this show is how the enemy of excellence is isolation, how can't couldn't do it and could did it all, how to be others focused, how to start gratitude day, and the keys to success and significance. I do not take for granted that you're tuned in, and I hope you enjoy the show. Well, hey there, Better Leaders. I am so, so excited today to bring you the man, the myth, the legend, Big A, Aaron Walker. And this guy is so special in my life. Listen, he was on episode 12, so I encourage you, highly encourage you to go back and check that episode out. But this guy is my mentor. He's my friend. I've learned so much from him. One of his masterminds, that's where I learned how to serve school leaders in that group coaching setting. And he's just, he's the best. He really is. So Aaron, thank you so much for joining me on the show, and excited to connect again.
I don't know if I can live up to all that bio, man. Thank you, Daniel. You're awesome, man. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So you have a new book that just came out. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Oh, I do. It's like my baby. For 2 years, I've been nurturing this thing along and writing it. Finally, here we are, man. It's launch time, and I'm absolutely a nervous wreck. But I think it's going to be fun, man. We're getting great feedback on the book. It's called View from the Top, and it's just kind of a memoir. It kind of tells you my story, and I give some sense of encouragement in it, how to overcome major obstacles, how to overcome bitterness in your life. And you know as well as anybody, I had a real major catastrophe in 2001 that we were able to bounce back from. And it's just been an amazing adventure, Daniel.
So you said you've been getting some feedback early on. What's that feedback been like?
Well, you know, some of the guys are saying that it's given them hope. It's given them encouragement. And some of the stories that I tell in there, they're like, theirs pales in comparison as far as overcoming some of these devastations. And they're saying, man, if you can come back like you've done, I absolutely can do it. So I feel like we're selling hope to a lot of people.
Yeah, that's good. I definitely get a lot of hope in your masterminds when we participate. I got it a lot in the book as well. There's some other ideas that challenge me quite a bit, one of them being delayed gratification. And you mentioned how your family went through some struggles. And to quote you, you said, even so, there's repercussions that will forever be burned into my memory. One day, all was great. And like a thief in the night, it was gone. And so I'm just curious, you know, how those type of events shaped you into the man you are now.
You know, just to give a little 30,000 foot overview, we came from a very humble beginning. My dad was a general contractor and he provided for us, but we were very poor, quite honestly. We lived in a 600 square foot house, four children, two adults, and it was pretty cramped. You know, I've got two brothers and a sister, and a guy was good. He was faithful. We were taken care of, but we didn't have any extra. My dad gave $6,500 for the house that we lived in and then later lost it in bankruptcy. We had to move in with other family members, and then we found another house and rented it, you know, all the way through me graduating from school and leaving. So my dad was a great man of character, had high morals. His values were off the chart. He just was a terrible business person. He was a great man. He just didn't know how to manage money. And so I was running from something, not to something. I wanted better. I just didn't know what that looked like. And then when I got opportunities as a young man, I took advantage of them, and God really blessed that. And at 27 years old, I was able to retire. I sold my business to a Fortune 500 company, took a break, built another business for 10 years. And then my life changed forever, Daniel. August 1st, 2001, I was headed to the office, and a guy named Enrique was crossing the street in front of me and didn't look my way. And I ran over and killed a pedestrian. And that day, my life came to a screeching halt. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe this is happening to me. I was 40 years old and business was great. My family was great and everything came to a halt that day. I decided to sell the business and did. Robin and I took the next 5 years and we built a new house and we traveled abroad. I had to get my legs back under me. You know, you don't kill a pedestrian and get over it. But God was faithful and gave me the grace that I needed to deal with it. 5 years later, Robin woke me up from a nap one day and she said, "You're getting fat and lazy. It's time to go back to work."
So
at 45, we went in the construction business and we built a very successful construction company, number one, 3 consecutive years here in Middle Tennessee. And then I retired and started View from the Top. Now I get to coach guys each and every day. We have 8 mastermind groups, a community, and number of one-on-one clients. And I'm having the time of my life today, Daniel.
Oh, that's great. You know, I didn't have a similar experience in the sense of my upbringing. We went from an affluent family where I had everything, like literally anything I wanted, I had. But then through parents' divorce, you know, and just the troubles there with working and stuff, I remember they taught me how to budget, and you're big on that. And, you know, we had bank books back in the day that would tell you, you know, here's your deposits, your withdrawals, and your balance. And I remember that we had to start living off of all the money that was being saved in my account. And over weeks, over months, that money went from thousands of dollars to nothing. And that messed me up, you know? So to this day, I'm very responsible, fiscally responsible, and budget for everything, because I think that fear of losing it all like that, you know? So those family origin stories definitely impact you?
They do. They shape you. Yeah, they give you a lot of education, want it or not. You get a lot of education from your upbringing.
Absolutely. And so, you know, in the story that you shared in the book and, you know, throughout the book, you talk a lot about delayed gratification. Why do you think that's so important for school leaders?
You know, Robin and I, when we got married 2 weeks out of high school, we started pouring the money back into the company and living on a very modest salary. Now, this was in 1980. We were living on $18,000 a year, and we keep that same salary for 9 years. We didn't increase our pay. We poured all the money back into the company, and it taught us to delay gratification. We could have built a bigger house and had nicer cars and taken nicer trips, but we wouldn't have been able to build the business that we sold to a Fortune 500 company. The thing that I see now is the biggest plague to young people is they want the biggest, the best, the shiniest now. They don't want to wait. And Dave Ramsey always says, live like no one else today, so tomorrow you can live like no one else. And that's a very true statement. And if you will listen to it and adhere to the principles that set out before us to delay the gratification, you can live like no one else later. And I think that's true in education. I think that's true with our finances. I think that's true in any form of leadership that we're in. We have to be patient. You know, there's steps that we've got to go by. And anytime you circumvent the system, if you will, you're probably going to have repercussions as a result of it. So, yeah, learn to delay gratification to a later time.
Another quote from the book that really struck me is, when people ask you what happened or why you failed, do you really want to answer them with, "I was afraid to ask for help"? And I'm just curious, you know, what you'd like to say about that.
Well, here's the thing I wished I had learned earlier. I wished I had had trusted advisors as a young entrepreneur. What I wanted people to think is I knew everything. I was pretty arrogant and cocky, just to be honest with you, when I was in my 20s. You can imagine going from nothing to retiring at 27. You start reading your own press clippings. You start thinking you got the Midas touch. You know, everything you touch turns to gold. You can't tell me nothing. Well, listen, with that attitude, you'll get humbled pretty quick, Daniel, without a question. Yeah. And I just tell people now, let the veil down. Just let people know that you need help. It also builds your team. It'll also gather people around you that will want to help you. Just say, hey, I don't get it. I don't understand. You need trusted advisors that don't have something to gain or lose as a result of what they tell you. And that's why I do mastermind groups for 10 years. You know, I did it with Dave Ramsey and Dan Miller and Ken Abraham, some of those guys that would tell me the truth, and they would encourage me when I needed it, and they would slow me down when I needed to be slowed down because they had nothing to gain. You got to subject yourself to that type of scrutiny. And a lot of people don't want to do that. They don't want to be told that they're wrong. They don't want to be told that their idea sucks. They don't want to be told that you can't do that, right? Yeah. They just don't want to be told that. Yeah. So they don't ask. And so they listen, Daniel, you only have one lens. You only have one life experience by which to make your decision. But when you surround yourself with competent people that are interested in your well-being, now you've got 8 or 10 people that are trusted advisors that can give you different perspective. And when they do that, sometimes your idea really will wane to the back of the bus, if you will, and theirs will take precedent over it. Because when you have a general consensus of the multitudes, more than likely it'll work out.
Yeah, I love that. You know, and you're explaining the benefits of masterminds. You talked about, you know, being connected to guys like Dave Ramsey and how that really helped you in your career. But it also helped you too, you know, relationally, you know, emotionally, spiritually. You've grown in all those areas because of the relationships that were developed within those groups.
Well, the thing is, a lot of people say, well, yeah, who wouldn't want to be in a mastermind with Dave Ramsey and Dan Miller and Ken Abraham? And my point out to them back in 1995, Dave had one show, one radio station. Now he's got 700. He wasn't the Dave Ramsey today or then that he is now. See, these guys grew their businesses as a result of being around guys that challenged them. And these guys would call you out in a minute. That's what I loved about them. And you know me, Daniel, I get in there and scrap with the best of them. Yeah. And you will too. You've called me out before.
Oh boy.
And so, hey, we got to do that. That's why it's called iron sharpens iron. We've got to get in there and help each other. The thing is that you've got to be willing, though, to take it, and you got to be willing to give it.
As a principal, I know one of the biggest challenges that I face is figuring out how to raise more money for my school so I can impact my students and help them get the resources, the programs that they desperately need. That's where School Spirit Vending comes in. And I know the owner, Matt Miller. He's an excellent guy. He was a guest on episode 5. And I'm encouraging you, the listener, to check out School Spirit Vending in their hassle-free year-round fundraising program at schoolspiritvending.com. Is there anything else you want to unpack about masterminds for the listeners? Because we talk about it on the show, and people that join the group, you know, they're like, oh, I've heard you talk about that in the podcast or write an email about it. I always thought it would be good. I'm glad I made that decision. But I'm just curious, is there anything else you'd like to share about the value of a mastermind?
Well, I think they're invaluable. I mean, I think it's absolutely a must, whether you can afford a paid group or you form your own group. The truth is the enemy of excellence is isolation. If you want to excel, you want to go to heights that you've never been, you get in a huddle with 10 guys or 10 ladies or ever what the case may be, and you meet week after week, year after year, and you build that camaraderie and that team. They get to know you, and they're able to advise you better because they've spent time with you. I'll tell you a funny little story real quick. I was at Ace Hardware years ago, and a guy named James Ryle was in my mastermind group, and he called me, and he said, I've got a word for you. Now, Daniel, I don't know if you've ever been stuck before, but I was in a dark spot. Yeah. I just couldn't shake it. I just couldn't, you know what I'm saying? And he called me and he said, I got a word for you. And I said, I'm excited. I said, this guy can almost walk on water. I can't wait to hear what he's going to tell me.
Yeah.
So I go outside in the parking lot and I answer the phone. I said, yeah, James, what is it? I'm ready. He said, you're wearing the crap out of everybody in our group. And I just sit there. I start laughing. Well, he didn't laugh. He just sat there. And I said, excuse me? He goes, I'm serious, man. We're getting tired of hearing this. You just own and own and own every week, every month. You just own and own. And I said, well, James, I'm sorry, man. I don't even know what to say. He goes, Averyn, it says in the book of Isaiah, take the chains from around your neck and let's move on. He said, it's time you were moving on, brother. I got to go. I'll see you. And hung up.
Wow.
And I'm like, I was so mad. Then I thought, you know what? This guy loves me enough to tell me the truth. Man, I went back in the next Wednesday and hugged those guys and apologized, and it changed the trajectory of my life. I may have still be in the ditch had these guys not drugged me out and said, let's get moving. Well, if you don't invest time with people, you can't say that to them. And we all are going to need that at some point in our lives.
Yeah.
So, hey, I could talk for days on the value of it. Hey, grab my book, The Mastermind Blueprint. We just released that. And if you're interested in knowing how to build groups of your own, I teach you how to do it.
Oh, that's great. Hey, another thing that's really interesting is dreams, Big A. And I'm curious about yours, because you say if your dreams are important enough, you will find a way to make them happen. So do you mind talking about what your dreams are currently and how you're working to make that happen?
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I have great big dreams, and I always have. I'm a dreamer. I love to sit on the porch and think what it could be. My mom always taught us not to say the word can't. She'd say, can't, couldn't do it, and could, did it all. And she instilled that into us, and it's become my mantra. It's like now people say, can you do this? And I'll say, yes. What is it? What do you want me to do? I can do it. And you've got to develop that confidence. Now, I don't mean cockiness and arrogance. People hate that. But people want to be around people that are confident, right? Humble, but confident. So I want to see ISI expand all over the globe. We have guys now from three different countries, but I want to grow it from within out. We have about 80 guys in there now. I want to start developing other facilitators, and I want to fill those groups up and do revenue share with those guys. And then they're going to raise up leaders, and then they're going to raise up leaders. And we're going to have ISI is going to be an international brand. And I'm young enough to make it happen. I'm only 56 years old. I got plenty of time. I think it's an honorable goal. I think it's something that can help men. And our tagline is we help ordinary men become extraordinary. And so from a business perspective, I want to see ISI go international.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, we could talk offline, but if I could help you do that, I would love to do it. I love the experience in there. Just like you said, I mean, the fact that you connect with these amazing guys, and maybe somebody's going to turn into the next Dave Ramsey or Aaron Walker. You know, they got one show right now. The sky's the limit. And it's not about growing into that successful person. I mean, we want that, but it's about the significant aspect, the adding value to each other's lives, the men of character, the integrity that you surround yourself with is just so important to me. That's the favorite day of the week is Tuesdays because we get to hang out. So one thing I really like too is this idea that there's no gratification in doing things only for yourself. Mm-hmm. If somebody's struggling with how to add value to others, what are some steps, some things they could do today to be other focused?
Well, here's the thing, Daniel. You know, it's the number one topic I talk about nonstop. There's givers and takers. I want to be the giver. I don't want to even be near takers. And I vet everybody that comes through ISI. And when I hear any sense of they're a taker, I just tell them, hey, this is not going to be an organization for you. Because if you surround yourself with people that are givers, the natural reciprocity is you'll get all you need coming back to you as a result of you giving. You've got to change your mindset to be a giver. And we've done this in multiple businesses. You've got to think, what can I do to make Daniel's life better? How can I encourage him? How can I give him a video endorsement? How can I give him a written recommendation? Who can I introduce him to? How can I promote better leaders, better schools? How can I promote, you know, Jeff Goins, Dave Ramsey, Dan Miller? How can I promote these guys, Ray Walker? How can I promote them and take them to the next level? And when you do that, you look around and they're all standing in line to help you. Now, listen, I know it works. I've been doing this 38 years. It's not like I'm a newbie. We've had 12 businesses, and I can point to many businesses that we've grown by looking outward. I'll give you an example. We were in the construction business, and we had a phenomenal business. We were building high-end residents and small commercial properties. And we said, we're going to be king of customer service. And we were. And I would call people at the end of their warranty period and say, we're going to send a team of guys out there. You tell me whatever's wrong with your house, we're going to fix it. And they're like, what? I can't even get people on the phone and you're calling me.
Yeah.
And it, well, listen, here's what would happen, though. Those people that could afford those kind of homes, they had parties and they were at parties and they're talking to their cronies and their buddies. And they would tell that story to them. Who do you think they were going to get to build their house when they found out the GC was calling saying, we're going to send people out to do warranty work before we were called? See, little things, Daniel, that you can do in your business, and anybody listening to my voice, it doesn't matter who you are. You think how you can outserve the next guy. What can I do to make your life better? And it doesn't matter the industry you're in. You can do that, right? It doesn't cost money. There's a lot of things that you can do. I sit each day and I write emails of encouragement to people. I take my phone and I text people. Hey, man, just thinking about you. I had you on my mind today. Or I'll pick up the phone and call them and encourage them, not asking for anything, right? It leaves an indelible impression when you call people and you don't ask them for anything, because normally they're waiting on the question, right? Take my phone, shoot a little 30-second video. Just did one a few minutes ago to Derek Champagne. Hey, buddy, you're the best. Thank you for all you mean. Send it to him. And I get this long text back. He's just like, unbelievable, man. This was awesome. Thank you so much. So it doesn't cost anything to do that. I wrote a blog the other day and it talked about you got to bring it if you're going to get it. And what I was talking about, I sat at Panera Bread and had breakfast and I was by myself and I was writing a blog post. I did an experiment. Everybody that walked in the door, I just looked at them real solemn. I didn't do anything. I just looked at them and they looked at me the same way. Okay. The next 15 minutes, I smiled, yeah. Right? They all laugh. They're waving. They're cheering. Right? You got to bring it if you're going to get it.
Yeah.
You got to bring it.
I like that. You got to bring it if you're going to get it. And with that idea in mind, you know, you talk about success. If success were easy, then everybody would be successful. What can we do to bring it? What can we do to develop more grit, more perseverance, so we can be others focused and be successful and be significant?
Well, those are three qualities that you need. First of all, grit, determination, and perseverance. There can't be any quit in you, right? There's a time to stop. I don't mean that. Don't be stupid. But I'm talking about when people say you can't, what they're meaning is they can't. It's like, hey, when you get focused and you believe in it and you've got these trusted advisors around you telling you to go for it, you better look out. You go get run over if you don't move, because I'm going there. And when you have that kind of determination and couldn't do it and could did it all, and then fear missing an opportunity more than you fear failure, when you develop that mindset, there's nothing that you can't do if you're willing to. You got to delay the gratification, have the grit, the perseverance, the determination, and you got to believe in it. People that are just passionate won't ever make it. If you don't do it for a purpose, you're not going to accomplish it, because passion won't keep you there. You won't do the hard work. But when there's purpose, when there's meaning, when it's significant, you'll stay with it to the bitter end and you'll accomplish it. You just got to have mindset.
Mindset. Yep. That's great. Mindsets are key. You shared a book with us called The 12-Week Year. I've used that with the school leaders I coach. That's all about identifying the ideal week, identifying one goal and going crazy after it over 12 weeks, right? And the whole premise of the book is to get more done in those 12 weeks than most people do in a year. I'm sharing all that to say on July 22nd, I'm going to use that idea to develop a workshop for school leaders, July 22nd. And if folks will buy your book, View from the Top, and send me a receipt or a screenshot that you got it and it's in your hand, then I'm going to give you free admission to the first 20 people to that workshop.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. Yeah, man. Yeah. I love this. First I've heard of this, but I'm all for it.
I know. I didn't tell you. I wanted to surprise you. So
that's awesome.
So just to repeat that, you know, pick up Big A's book, View from the Top, take a screenshot or send me a picture of the receipt that you purchased it. And through that email, I'll give you a code. And that workshop, you know, retails for $97. So you're saving yourself quite a bit of money and you get an awesome book out of it. And you get the incredible workshop on how to identify that ideal week, create those goals and go like crazy after them. And then, you know, achieve what you're after. So please, listeners. Yeah.
Wow. Very cool, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
That's a great value. The book's $18, so you're saving a lot of money making that investment. Way to go, man. Thank you.
No problem. So let's pivot a little bit away from the book, but listeners, pick those up. And I'm just curious if we give the listeners some tactical stuff. And you're big on routines and rituals, and I know you got a morning routine. So what does that first hour of your day look like, Big A?
Yeah, I get up pretty early. You know, I get up between 4 and 4:30 every morning, and I spend the first 20 minutes in meditation, just sitting there quietly and listening. I'm a person of faith. And so God says he speaks to us in a small, still voice. And if you're working on email or you're talking, you can't hear him maybe. So I sit there and have coffee and a glass of water. And then I read scripture for about 30 minutes. And then I have two prayer lists that I go down for my family and for my clients. And so I spend the first hour, hour and a half in prayer and meditation and reading scripture, and then grab a shower and get the day going.
When you think of the word leader, who's the first person that comes to mind?
Dan Miller. He just immediately came to my mind when you said that.
Why is that?
He's a great leader. I mean, the guy is compassionate. He has empathy. He's got great tactics. He's compassionate. He's just a great man. I just think he's a great leader. You know, Colin says that he's a level 5 leader. And so that's what I consider Dan.
Absolutely. What would you consider the worst leadership advice you've ever been given or heard being given?
Leverage yourself to the hilt. And I don't believe in that for a minute. You know, you can make money, but it's a deck of cards.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, borrow money to the hilt. You should borrow it and leverage yourself to the maximum. If you can afford the payment, do it. And there is nothing further from the truth. You won't sleep well with that strategy, but that was some of the worst advice I've ever heard.
In addition to View from the Top book, what other book would you recommend principals checking out right now?
You know, there's a couple of classics out there that I think are necessary. How to Win Friends and Influence People has been around for 50 years. It's a classic. It needs to be read by everybody. Essentialism, Greg McCowan wrote, is wonderful. You've already mentioned The 12-Week Year by Brian Moran. The Bible is my favorite book, and it's got every answer for every problem in there. I would get those. Hey, you can go to View from the Top and check out my book reading list. There's tons of great books there, but there's 3 or 4 good ones for you.
Great, and I'll get that link in the show notes for our listeners. Big A, what do you do for fun?
Yeah, I play golf, I fish, I hunt. But the thing I do for the most enjoyment is hang out with my 5 grandkids. We're at the gym or the ballpark probably 4 to 5 days a week. And so I love hanging out with my grandkids.
Do you mind sharing, because I don't know that if I've heard this on other podcasts. I don't think it was on episode 12 with you, but you do a pretty unique activity with your grandkids around Christmas time. Do you mind sharing that story with our listeners?
Yeah, that'll be fun. It's called Gratitude Day. It's Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. We take all the grandkids and we'll go to the nursing home and we'll hand out boxes of chocolate. We'll go to the hospital and hand out toys to the kids. We'll go to various places like Toys R Us and we'll take cards and put money in it and walk up and hand it to people anonymously. We'll go to restaurants and we'll buy people breakfast anonymously. The kids will pick out tables and we'll do that. And what we're trying to do is teach them to be grateful and to be anonymous and to be generous. And our grandkids are learning these principles that are absolutely insane what they're doing now. I took my granddaughter a couple months ago to the lake to feed the ducks, and we had 2 loaves of bread. And I'm feeding the ducks the bread, and I look up, and she's got hands full of bread, and she's going over and giving it to the other children because they didn't have anything to feed the ducks. And I'm like, she's foregoing feeding the ducks. She's 7 years old so that other kids can feed the ducks. And it's just looking out, it's just giving. We're teaching them to be givers. And so it just, across the board with my grandkids, they're learning to do it. One of the grandkids walked up to me after the gratitude day and she hugged me and she said, Big A, this has been the funnest day of my life. And I'm like, you know what? This 7-year-old kid saying that, come on, guys. Surely us as adults can teach our grandkids, even do it ourselves. We make a habit of always, when the grandkids are with us, and most of the time when they're not, anonymously picking up tabs at the restaurants, buying people coffee, whatever it is, just it puts you in a better frame of mind. I got to tell a quick story. When I said that, it made me think about this. And it's one of the things that you can do because we all get in bad moods. I was at Starbucks not long ago. There was a lady 2 persons ahead of me. And this lady was asking a million questions. And I'm thinking, come on, lady, this is Starbucks. Menu has never changed. What are you doing? That's what I'm thinking. I said, I got to have some coffee. It's 7:30 in the morning. Finally, Daniel, she orders some coffee. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. She left, and the guy standing in front of me ordered whatever he was getting. And I tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, excuse me. He goes, yeah. I said, hey, get whatever you want. He goes, I fully intend on it. And I said, no, man, I'm buying. He goes, what? I said, I'm buying. He goes, why? I said, because I want to. I want to bless you. So I bought it. And he goes, no, really, why? I said, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to level with you right here. I wanted to smack that lady that was in front of you. And he started laughing. He goes, she was getting on my nerves, too. I said, I had to do something to change my attitude. And I thought if I was generous to you, it would get me in a better frame of mind. We started laughing. He started laughing. We were in a better mood when we left. 2 weeks later, I was in the same Starbucks. I did the same thing to the guy behind me. And he goes, why are you doing that? I said, I just want to bless you, man. I just want it to be a good day. Who are you? And I said, it doesn't matter who I am. I don't ever tell people who I am. I paid for his coffee and I'm leaving. And listen, Daniel, here's what I love. He told the cashier, he said, hey, I got these 3 people behind me.
Wow.
And I said, yes, That's what it's about right there. It's contagious. Listen, that video that I did on Gratitude Day got 10,000 organic views.
What?
When I was telling people about Gratitude Day.
Wow.
10,000 organic views. I'm just telling you, man, if we'll live our life that way, you'll lay down in bed at night spent. You'll squeeze every drop out of the towel, but you'll say, I've given it all I've got today. I've left nothing on the field, and you'll sleep like a champion. You get up and you get to do it again tomorrow.
Yep. And you're going to bed with a smile too. That's great. Thank you for sharing those stories. That was fantastic. Big A, if you could be automatically good at something, what would it be?
A baseball player, because my grandsons love it, and I would love to be an all-star baseball player.
And last question, what message would you put on all school marquees across our nation if you could do that for just one day?
In God we trust.
Well, Aaron, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any actionable steps you'd like the listeners to take as a result of listening to this show? And what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Couple of things. I brought a gift for you. Go to viewfromthetop.com/Better Leaders, all in lowercase letters. There are three documents that I use every single day. I've taken the price off. I'm going to give them to you. Personal assessment, what do I want, and steps to a productive day. You fill out those three documents and implement them. I promise you it'll change your life. Go to viewfromthetop.com and pre-order one of my books right now. You can get it. It's out. It's ready. And I feel like it can help you live a more successful and significant life.
Well, Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life's 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Aaron. You better start today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Aaron in the search bar, and the show notes page will pop up where you'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Big A, thank you so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better. Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Have you gotten value from today's show? Help me reach even more listeners by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Click the podcast artwork and press the Show Some Love link to leave an honest rating and review. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, patrons would sponsor artists to create something the patron valued. Would you consider becoming a patron of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast? If you found this podcast valuable, if the show has pushed your thinking about leadership, and if you've benefited in any way, then I would be honored if you would become a sponsor. Sponsorship is easy. Head over to patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes to become a patron for as little as $1 a month. If you pledge $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every other month. That's patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes. Do you have a question or need some leadership advice? I want to connect with you. I read every email, tweet, snap that's sent to me. Links are in the show notes to connect via email and social media. Better Leaders, Better Schools is a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network. Podcast for educators, podcast by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.